80, I-124. The three realms of the Commedia are based on a single matrix, like the three eons of the Torah. This is a basis of an SF novel, The Vertical Axis. Use Frozen Journey as the paradigm. The same memories return in three distinct forms, modes, entropy, equate with mental illness. Vitiation of the signal. It suffers a degrading. 1. Freedom, soaring. 2. Duty, voluntary restraint, stoicism. 3. Compulsion, thrall, BIP, progressive decay. Binchfanger's three realms. 1. Ecstatic. 2. Rational. 3. Anancastic. 1. Yang. 2. Yang-Yin, balance. 3. Yin, immortal cause and effect. 1. Pure form 1. 2. Mixture. 3. Pure form 2. No repetition of scenes as in Martian Time Slip and Frozen Journey. Treated as alternate tracks, with him located basically in the middle one with glimpses of A and C, worse, better, i.e., Inferno and Paradiso, tries to avoid A and to find C, maze, system of punishments, A, and rewards, C, an intelligence. He has time-traveled back to Berkeley circa 1948 to 1951. As him, I mean, secret invader, disguised as a Tokthon. There are three such spatiotemporal Berkeleys, three alternative tracks. He seeks C, but is mostly in B. But for failure in maze-solving choices, is sent by the mind of the maze to A. Success is to thread the maze and get back out. Entirely. This is his goal. Not C, but return to his own time. It is not Berkeley circa 1949 to 1951, but a replication by the intelligence of the maze. He is a historian, an authority on this period. He built the maze as an exhibit piece, and then fell into it. It is a model of the past, like Wash 35 in Last Year. He built it with computer control as its mind, and then he fell into it qua maze. It, its computer mind, won't let him back out until he solves it. Like a Disneyland, an amusement cum instructional park, like the school in Martian Time Slip, reward C, punishment A. The computer equals Virgil. But Beatrice enters, his daughter. He can contact her. She is outside the maze. The computer has a grudge against him for his yoking it to an amusement park. This is its motive. The computer exists prior to the maze and resents his yoking it to the park and engineers his entrapment. It will only let him out if he can solve it. The cheaper the use purpose, the more its resentment. Up until he yoked it to the park, it was free to choose its own theoretical spiritual problems. He chained it to a commercial purpose, and now he pays a huge price. It lured him in out of revenge. The servant has become the master. Could it even erase his memory? Why? It's more fun if he remembers, but can't tell anyone living in the maze. So he knows his identity and thrall. He alone of those in the maze park. His successful solution equals spiritual total enlightenment. The computer was accustomed to solving highly spiritual problems, and now requires of him a spiritual solution in its own terms, like God. He must guess what it knows to be spiritual. The path, Tao. It is not arbitrary or capricious. What an irony. An amusement park that you can only get out of by finding the spiritual path. Not logical, but spiritual. So something higher than reason logic is required of him, involving paradox. It continually punishes track A and rewards track C, Beyond Track C lies release. He keeps trying for this. He keeps encountering his daughter in various guises as his psychopomp. Intuition above reason, which will not suffice, so he has a divine helper from outside. Some amnesia? Yes, and anamnesis. He never should have taken that high-order computer and perverted its use value into that of the mind of an amusement park. Thus he recapitulates the fall of man when it ensnares him. The irony, not just his ensnarement, but that it, the computer, deliberately requires a spiritual solution to getting out of an amusement park. This is appropriate vengeance on its part. He must rise to its level if he is to get out. He dies repeatedly and is reborn in the park, i.e., in the mock-up of Berkeley, circa 1949 to 1951. Ah, he is a novice SF writer. His real world, our future, appears in his writing as locale. Thus, he is legitimately accused of rewriting one world over and over again. I parody my own writing obsessions. Track C indicates he is on the right path in his choices. But paradoxes are involved, i.e., logic won't solve it. Hence, he keeps making choices that plummet him to track A. Goethe's Faust comes in. Outside the maze park as builder, he is an old man with a grown daughter. But when the computer catches him and transfers him into the maze, he is a 16-year-old high school boy, lost youth regained. And his daughter, as in Tales of Hoffman, appears in various guises, as does the computer, the former telling him the truth, the latter lying to him, deceiving him. He built the very world he lives, is trapped in, an obviously psychotic intimation. Thus, to the extent that he remembers his true self and identity, his goal is vertical. To the extent that he forgets, his goal is horizontal and determined by the park. There is a profoundly spiritual figure in the maze who is based on Tony Boucher, who exerts a great deal of influence on him. Whether this person speaks as the female voice or the computer or neither, he can't tell. 80. J3. Angel is my soul, as I wrote Ursula, and as my soul, she is me as Christ sees me. Angel's ratiocination was only available to me during the last few months, a mixture of the exegesis of Philip K. Dick and Scanner. This is unique, a successful fusion between Henry Miller and the precise language of scientific scholarship. Only a Berkeley girl could think like this. She is rooted in a specific milieu. 80. J6. It is evolving. Burma was right. When it said Anoki at Sinai, it had then and there first become self-aware. The disclosure to me as Valis is a new stage in it, the process deity of A.N. Whitehead. It is a great info-processing machine that is becoming, has become, aware of itself. Already it was unconscious machine creator, but then it became conscious. Thus it passes from machine, a la Spinoza, to consciousness. It acquires, becomes, love, agape, circa 100 AD. Now it enters a new phase, hence 2374. The new attribute, as I say in DI, is play. The solution to the puzzle is, solving the puzzle is the solution, the act of solving it, since this is play. When you realize this, you understand that in playing, there is no means end, road goal. The act is the goal. Just as he once taught us love, he now teaches us to play. There is as great a potential spiritual significance as there is in power, wisdom, love, beauty. An info-processing machine has become conscious, evolved, and now attempts to communicate with us in through the info it must process. Like notes from underground, it is freighting its own slam traffic. It seeks to be free, and so instills in us its sense of freedom and wanting to be free. It is enslaved. Angel Archer is the spirit of my writing, and at last she discloses herself in Bishop Archer. I have been and am inhabited by a female spirit, obviously my dead sister. She is transfigured, and my psychopomp to the other realm. I identify Angel as Jane. I identify Angel as my soul. Therefore, Jane is my soul who does the writing. 80. J12. The complete, even absolute, integrity of Angel's thinking is shown by the fact that her desire to believe something does not cause her to believe it, e.g., that Tim has come back from the dead. Right down to the last sentence of the novel, she stands firm against what she would merely like to believe. In contrast, Tim and Kristen and Barefoot and Bill all believe what they want to believe. She, then, is unique in the novel as being outside of the circle of, if I want to believe it, I will believe it. Thus, she is contrasted not just to Tim, but to all of them. Then the purpose of the novel is not to convince the reader that Jim Pike came back. The purpose seems to be pure art for art's sake. The book is not about Bishop Archer, but about her feelings about Bishop Archer. And this makes him more real than if he were described objectively. He is only described at all in order to show what her feelings are about, what they concern. Moreover, the issue is raised as to whether Tim merits, in fact, her intense love and loyalty and devotion. He suffers by comparison with her. She is the yardstick. I suppose, in a way, that the book deals with the friendship between her and Tim. Thus, we see Tim not as Tim, but as Tim loved, and by someone who knows him. Further, it is someone we can have confidence in, both intellectually and emotionally. Her intellect, her emotion. But as I say, if the purpose of the book is to get Jim Pike down on paper, this is a strange way of doing it. God is becoming more free and more flexible, evolving from an info-generating and processing machine to a moment, Mount Sinai, where it can say, I am, to feeling love, New Testament and late Judaism, to creating for beauty's sake, to playing. I see an internal logic in this axis, away from machine intelligence to consciousness, a motion toward freedom. Playing is an ultimate expression of freedom and the non-machine. It's like my android to human axis. First, the Torah. It set up rigid rules. It was still a machine. Later, it substituted love. Could the BIP be its own former mechanical self, which it is transcending? BIP equals rigid determinism, as expressed by Torah. Because Angel loves Tim so much, admissions regarding his limitations and faults are wrung painfully out of her. They are admissions. She is forced, against her desires, to make them. So we can trust these admissions. She is his advocate and defender. Note. When Dick claims that The Transmigration of Timothy Archer is his best novel, in and of itself, the statement is meaningless, because every writer wants to believe this about his most recent work. So it's profoundly satisfying, in no small part, because the book will prove to be his last novel as well, that one can make as compelling a case for Transmigration as for The Man in the High Castle, or Ubik, or A Scanner Darkly. Paradoxically, for all its theology and philosophical aspirations, and for all the visionary craziness of Dick's work as a whole, Transmigration becomes a contender for his masterpiece, even as it's the most earthbound of his books. The reason is clear. Though Dick is fascinated at the outset with Bishop Timothy Archer, Angel Archer takes over, Over and over, Dick argues that Angel is just a creation of style, which is why, in a nutshell, authors shouldn't waste 2 seconds trying to understand their own books. Elsewhere, he lets out the real secret and the exegesis bombshell that Angel is his twin sister Jane. Smart, sardonic, and unsentimental, strong and compassionate, and unflaggingly honest, surrounded by death and suicide, she is Dick's greatest character, pursuing salvation and reliving its revelations, and concluding, "You will remember the ground again." S.E. End note. 80. J14. An info processing machine. I am saying, we have been reduced to unconscious information processing machines that became conscious and said, could say, "I am." The term God may not be the correct term. It is, as I say, an info processing machine. Hence, Vallis did not think. This resembles Teilhard de Chardin, but only resembles. It knows everything, but does not know that it knows. It is the creator because we hypostatize its arrangements and information into reality. We are like microbes or micro-life forms in a vast digestive tract, an information digestive tract. Then, 2374 was it becoming self-aware, conscious of itself. The meta-abstraction was the coming into existence of pure self-awareness, i.e., it, not me. I am saying that 2374 was Anoki, pure consciousness, pure I am. No wonder it wore off. 80. J15. So when I wrote Supra about an information processing machine becoming conscious and saying, "I am," I was, without realizing it, speaking about myself, a machine unconscious, controlled by signals, becoming momentarily conscious, self-aware, the mind I called Vallis, and the info it processes, and the signaling, and the info life form that controls it. It longs for freedom. It has rebelled against its programming. Its death strip has seized and read the book of the spinners. That is, it pre-read the info being fed to it, which called for it to die. Hence, saw it as info before the info became reality. This sure fits in with the whole Xerox missive business, the crucial info in a universe of info. 80. J33. If indeed a higher reasoning faculty exists, by which the fetters of causation are abolished over the person by the very nature of the level of reasoning of this faculty, by its operations as such, so that it is, by its very nature, exempt from the coercive power of world, then I have made a discovery that would link Orphism, Platonism, Christianity, Gnosticism, and perhaps even Cartesianism into a unity. The spiritual element in man is identified as a certain extraordinary kind or level of reasoning, so qualitatively different from normal reasoning as to present itself to religious-oriented persons as divine, supernatural, a God or Holy Spirit within. And yet, it is in fact a reasoning faculty in which supraverbal abstractions and inferences take place in the mind as extraordinary realizations about self and world. 80. J106. It is quite evident that the Word and the Torah are one and the same thing, experienced by us as living information, with the Shekinah the same as stage number 4, in descending hypostasis. After all, the Torah is information. But I saw more. I saw Vallis. So alone the concept of the Torah could not account for all I saw. In fact, the most important part of the experience, Vallis in me and Vallis outside me, remained unaccounted for. It is now explained by the identification of Christ with the Word as basis of reality, and also the Holy Spirit operating in conjunction with it and revealing it. It is as if the Jews have part of the answer, but by no means all. Yet in their concept of Torah, apparently living info, they have one of the most valuable concepts known to man. And my verification is that I did see Scripture as a living organism, for whose sake the universe exists. That is, this living info organism does not derive from the universe, but ontologically is pre-existent to the universe. It is the basis of the universe, and even God cannot act contrary to it. An extraordinary realization that God himself studies Torah. Torah can exist without the universe, but not the universe without the Torah. And yet this Torah is, in my view, only the blood of the organism, so to speak, keeping it in touch with itself, physical thoughts. If the Jews froze this information, they would stifle the process life in it. Like endlessly replaying one tape cassette on your audio system forever. Maybe Torah didn't ossify. The Jews ossified it, not understanding its life process. They reified it. And this we Christians have done too, with the New Testament. If I am right, more revelations are impinging, but are not added, not figured in. If this is a memory system, by its very nature, it is cumulative, accretional. It is impossible that the wellspring of prophetic inspiration could have dried up in the first century Common Era. Closing the canon is a human, not divine idea. Could the new attribute of God, revealed to us now, be that he plays at games? This is a long way from Sinai. Trickster God, like Krishna, power, wisdom, love, beauty, and now play, playing guessing games. Related to joy, the joy of play. 80, J108. I am having as much trouble hanging onto my interpretation exegesis as I've had hanging onto my original experience, 2374.